Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for more than for decades, literally, and find out why so many people have turned to them for their insurance needs. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last hour, we talked to Aaron Hamlin in Sochi. This half hour, we stay home in Lewisburg and talk with Dave Paulson. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be on, Steve.
Senior day, to go out and get that done against Army, what did it mean emotionally just to do that in the way you did it, the way you scored, and for the seniors that have meant so much to your program?
Well, you know, it was great. We had a great crowd, and we've had some seniors, obviously. We've had three seniors who played really good roles on three straight championship teams. And then Cameron Ayers, who was a vital, vital first-team All-Patriot League guy in those championship teams. And they've meant so much to us. And we told, unfortunately, Ben Brack, he couldn't play in the game because he recovering from a head injury. But we told the other three guys, just play how you're capable of playing. And we wanted everyone else to make one more kind of energy play or toughness play or focus play, you know, to kind of honor those guys. And I thought, you know, we did that across the board, really played well defensively, played a lot of energy. And then Cameron Ayers was just absolutely phenomenal, as was Brian Fitzpatrick. So it was a good victory, a good week for us.
A very good week because you've won now back-to-back games. What are the common threads between the two that are telling you that the direction is where Bucknell needs to be right now?
Well, hopefully it's a direction the right way. We're defending better.
Yep.
we're rebounding better. And we're turning the ball over three or four less times a game. And it's just we don't play at a breakneck speed. So the three or four extra turnovers we were having, if you're shooting 42, 43%, those extra four turnovers, we're probably costing ourselves 4 or 5 points a game in that. That's been the margin of victory. And the other thing is some of our turnovers were really leading to runouts, transition opportunities for the other team. So I thought at both Navy and Army, we limited transition baskets and we limited turnovers and we just, play with a greater level of poise.
Dave, there are so many close games that are played by Bucknell. In fact, a lot of close games you and I both know across the country. We could list 10 of them just in the last 48 hours that have gone to the final position. For you personally, how much time do you spend away from the court and away from the players planning out late game? And do you ever find yourself in late game ad-libbing a bit because of a sense?
Well, I think you always kind of ad-lib a little bit based on, what your gut feel is. But we try, to have every kind of scenario laid out, in our planning during the preseason, up three, down three, up by a lot, down by a lot, side out of bounds, under out of bounds, end line out of bounds, do we foul, we don't foul. But a lot of times you do kind of ad lib because somebody's got a hot hand and maybe, you try a different wrinkle to get him another look or, maybe you want to foul but you're worried about giving up the offensive rebound. So there's a certain amount that you have to be somewhat flexible based on the flow of the game and who you have in the game at the time.
Free throws of the game, you went 18 of 21. Hey, the three-point line and the free throw line in combination usually is what wins games. I mean, in terms of, like, if you want to pick a stat, there are a lot of stats you look at. I look at the free throw line, three-point line. So many times I see the margin of the game. You combine the two, and there's your margin. How comfortable were you at both of those lines against Army?
Well, you know, we got to the foul line a lot. We did a great job offensive rebounding the ball. And you know, we've been able to play a little bit bigger because Army was about one of their three-point shooters, and Navy's a little bigger. And so we've been able to get a few more offensive rebounds. We've been able to get a few more post-ups. And then I think we're a little more judicious in our three-point shooting. We're a good three-point shooting team. We've become a little too dependent upon it. And so the percentage of shots that we've taken from the three have decreased a little bit in the last couple of games. And it's probably allowed us to be, you know, a little bit more selective and make sure we're getting better looks.
You hit your last 10 free throws in the game. I mean, as a coach, I mean, you could sit there. That's one baby you can just tell them in practice. You can't really coach. Maybe you can change a stroke here and there. But how good is it to see guys with the pressure ratchet up a bit just say, so what, and knock it down?
Well, you know, we get good guys, free throw shooters at the line. Cameron Ayers is, I don't know, 87-80% free throw shooter. Chris Haas is there. And that's one thing, you know, that we definitely do. We shoot a ton of free throws every single day, pressure free throws. And we have good shooters, you know, and that's important. So you got to get the right guys at the line. But, you know, doing it in practice and things like that and then doing it in the game are two different things. But, you know, we've been fortunate to have some good foul shooters and guys who can knock them down late in the game.
Now you got a week coming up where it's the two new teams in the conference, Loyola and BU. What did you learn about each of those teams the first time through, Dave?
Well, I learned that they're way more athletic than us. That's one thing I learned. You know, BU, Loyola, we played well at home here against them, played one of our more complete games. But they're very athletic. They're very good at home. They're 5-2 at home in the league, and they're 0-7 on the road. You know, so we go on the road to play them, and they're a much different team there. And then I think Boston University is the best team in the league. They're the most complete team. They can score inside. They can score outside. They have three-point shooters. They have quick guards who can drive, and they're a very, very good defensive team. So, you know, they're in first place. They've proven in my mind that they're the most complete team in the league. And so we're going to have our work cut out for us in both those contests.
Talent obviously makes a difference in terms of making a transition to a league. So I'm going to give you this question. When you first took the Bucknell job, give me an idea of the learning curve a coaching staff has to go through when they're seeing all new opponents and personnel for the first time on the other side.
Well, yeah, I do think it's a learning curve. Now, again, if you have more pieces on your in your you know, if you're playing chess and the other team's playing checkers, that makes the learning curve a lot easier. You know, so I would say though that, and I think for me coming from Division III to Division I, the physicality is much more physical game. Yeah. Whereas, you know, for both Loyola and Boston U, they play. You know, we played Boston U, we played Loyola in the non-conference. They played us. So I think the transition is not that big. We're probably, our league, you know, is a little bit more, the existing team is a little bit more shooting-oriented and a little less athletic. Loyola, because, you know, they don't have as much talent maybe as Boston U, has had to adapt, whereas Boston U, to be honest with you, is forcing other teams to adapt to them. So at the end of the day, playing chess against their team playing checkers is always better than knowing the landscape.
That's very true. But I'll explain why I asked the question, and it's actually a question I've asked from experience. When Joe Paterno and Penn State went into the Big Ten, they said that was a part that was difficult for them, was learning all new personnel after facing the same teams year in and year out. The Nebraska people told me the same thing, that going right in there like, hey, that was a little bit greater than we thought it was going to be, that they didn't quite expect. So Dave, always an absolute pleasure. Two wins in a row, and congratulations on that, and to the seniors. I know you still have another game in Lewisburg, but it was a big night for them, and we congratulate them on that.
All right, thanks so much, Steve.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
How many presidents do you want to save?
Save more than you ever thought
at Sunbury Motors Ford during their President's Day sales event.
Choose from over 400
new Fords with savings up to
$10,200.
With interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months and no payments for 90 days. Select from over 20 new 2014 Ford Focuses for as low as
$16,390.
SMC has 17 of the hottest selling 2014 Ford Fusions
starting at $18,980.
If you're having trouble getting through the snow, Sunbury Motors has new 2014 Ford Escapes priced under $20,000.
If a new truck is on your list,
pick from the largest selection of new F-150s
in all of Central Pennsylvania.
A whopping 100 at one location, priced from just
$23,953.
Sunbury Motors President's Day sales event is the area's first huge sale of the year, and the one you won't want to miss. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Head up sunburymotors.com.
Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back to the Kevin Herr Olympic Clam Bake.
Did you bring the clams? Today, but
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I'm paying enough clams to listen to you talk about it.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Roger's sitting there going, you know what? I'm with you. We all have to listen to him every day. Yes, there was a gold medal today in ice dancing for Davis and White. First ever for the U.S. And also a bronze medal today. First in 62 years in the two-man bobsled. All right. Let's see. Question. Penn State grad, 79 and 84. My son is a junior in sports journalism at Penn State. This is Bob in Hanover. He says, Steve, been a season ticket holder since we moved into the BJC in 95. I, too, am disappointed that more students do not turn out for the games. I cannot understand why. It is frustrating. Could it be that the students realize that the Penn State administration does not really appreciate the men's program as much as it should for a University of Penn State's prestige? You yourself stated the men's hoops program at Penn State not supported financially like the majority of the top teams in the Big Ten. In terms of spending, yeah. Can you speak about that? Yeah, I'll speak about it. And Bob, thanks so much for listening to the show and for being a season ticket holder. Let's talk about that for a moment. It's, first of all, the men's basketball program has not done enough of its part by winning consistently. Let's start with that. So let's lay that out there. They've not been a consistent winner. Since they moved into the BJC, they've been to the NCAA tournament in 96. They got to the NIT Final Four in, 98, 2000, got to the Sweet 16 2001, got back to the NIT in 2006, won the NIT in 2009, and then, of course, went to the NCAAs in 2011. All right? But you can see the gaps in there of years where they didn't have great years. They seem to build to a point. And then that's when they make the big run in that particular year. And then when those seniors leave, there's not enough depth coming out. Men's basketball is absolutely critical to the future of athletics at Penn State. Football is absolutely critical to the future of athletics at Penn State. Why? Those are the two sports that make a profit. And it's the profits that then go to help out the other 29 sports and offset their deficits. Penn State has an awesome and incredible wrestling program and does a great job of selling out Rec Hall 18 straight. And the pricing structure is perfect for the product and is perfect to get fans into the building. So a lot of people have said, well, how much money do they make? They sell out all the time. And here's the unfortunate reality. The unfortunate reality is, despite all that, there's so many expenses involved that they lose maybe a little bit more than $1 million a year. Okay? Now, those sellouts offset deficits. Okay? So they're doing as well financially as they really can do right now. Women's basketball, according to the Department of Education website from the U.S. Department of Education, lost $3.2 million last year. Yesterday was a great day with 12,000-plus fans, sixth largest crowd ever, for the Pink Zone, in which they were able to donate $200,000-plus for breast cancer research and awareness. Incredible. But there's still a financial loss, and you want to have really good women's basketball. You want to have great wrestling. You want to have great women's volleyball and so forth. It takes money to do it. Football takes care of the vast majority of that. Men's basketball, according to the Department of Education website, men's basketball made a $5.2 million profit last year. And it's able to do so because of the teams, the radio contracts, in part with obviously some attendance. Their ticket prices are higher than women's basketball. They're higher than volleyball. Ticket prices are higher than wrestling and so forth. So there's some with that, plus the parking that goes with it. But it's the radio and TV that makes the vast majority of it, plus the revenue sharing plan in men's basketball. Every time you get to a certain number, you donate $65,000 to the pool. The bottom number is $27,000 to the pool. I think Penn State on Saturday, the number was, what, $10,400? So they probably would be in the $50,000-plus range, almost maybe the $60,000-plus range in terms of their donation to the pool, which then is divided up. NCAA tournament money gets divided up among the men. I had one guy say, oh, they don't go to the, you know, they went to the tournament once, they're making a contribution. Unfortunately, you have to understand how it works. And what he doesn't get, and this is not Bob, not your email, it's another email I got last week from some guy named Sean. And what he doesn't get is NCAA units, once you get in, are distributed over a 6-year span. So Penn State actually going to the NCAA tournament in 2011 is still making contributions in the distribution now, but you want to get there every year. The students at basketball, in terms of how loud they are, they're the biggest difference maker in every building. And I go other places, and, you know, Nebraska will be one. You know, Nebraska is a new building, and they're playing better, and they're selling out. So there's a combination, like the newness of the building and so forth. There's a lot, you know, it's like when the Jordan Center sold out. The timing couldn't have been perfect the first year. They sold out every game. They were ranked eighth in the country. And student support is something they need to work at the university. And there's an organization, the Nittany Nation organization, that needs to do a better job of organizing their own student body on campus to be a part of this. The Izzone, it's easy to go to the Izzone. Let's face it, they win all the time. It's exciting. The Grateful Red at Wisconsin's exciting. Purdue, they still come out in droves, even though Purdue's been down the last couple of years in basketball. You just have to get that natural feel on campus that they're a part of something special. You can complain about the Jordan Center all you want, but it's still the building you have to work with, so work with it. You know, one thing I would do is I would take the stands on the student side and I would bring them all the way out as far as they can go instead of tucking back three rows and then putting those chairs on the floor. I would take that out. I would pull those stands all the way out, and then I would tarp off the last three rows with the Nittany Nation banner. I would tarp off those last three rows so the fans sitting in back of them can still see. But I'd have that pulled all the way out because actually it would make them closer to the court. So that would be one thing that I would do. Use the setup that they use in general for games during that happen during holiday break. Floor. More incentives to get them out there and so forth for the students. I mean, specific student giveaways. But it's going to have to come from them to be a part of to be a part of it. Because complaining about the basketball program and not going to games, all right, as a student means that, you know, I don't want to hear your complaint because you're not helping them win in any way, shape, or form. And I think that they make so much of the atmosphere when they're there. And the students, by the way, at the Iowa game were very loud, raucous, and wild. At the Illinois game, I didn't know they were there. I don't know why. It's just a particular day. But they need to do more internally as a student organization, and Penn State needs to do more as a marketing organization to get more students out to the game to make a difference. The rest of the crowd will fill in as time goes, and weather obviously plays a huge role because being in the central part of the state, weekend games are going to be higher attended because people can drive in from Harrisburg, Wilkes-Barre, Johnstown, Altoona, and so forth. You get a couple days like we've had recently with snow, it's going to keep that down. The students, though, have no real excuse not to go other than apathy. And it's a shame because if it's a football game, they go out there in droves, which is great. You know, men's basketball is a big, big player in terms of what needs to happen for the future of Penn State athletics. Patrick Chambers has improved the product where they've gone from losing by 15 to 25 to now being on the edge in almost every single game. Almost every single game. All right? Real progress, though, is measured in W's and L's. And that's what people want to see. You'd like to think that people would jump on board as a student body and try and be a part of it to swing some games. And I don't think that part they get right now. I hope that in some way, shape, or form answered your question, Bob.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We're now into our third year of the show. Purdy Insurance has been with us since day one. And there are a lot of people that have been with Purdy Insurance for a long time. Why? Because they know how to take care of their customers and their needs. Been in the Valley for decades. They're a staple in the Valley. They give back to the community. They're ingrained in the community. And when it comes to customer service, they're incredible. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Also with us since day one, Sunbury Motors. Our good friends at Sunbury Motors sponsor the studio. The studio is here because of them. And also, they've been here for decades serving the Valley as well. Find out why they have so many repeat customers, because you're going to become one as well. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the Big Sean Carey intro and the Kevin Herr Olympic fun fact.
Of course you remember this. But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
German athletes have won the most gold medals in this Olympics with 8 now. But the country ranks 6th in the overall medal count with 3 silvers and 2 bronze to go along with their 8 golds. In the 90-year history of the Winter Games, no gold medal leader has ever finished worse than 3rd in the overall medal count. And the U.S. and Russia right now tied for the top spot. And that's your Olympic fun fact.
Another reason to live. All right.
Oh, come on. I even smacked the post on that one. Come on.
Another reason to live.
I had another one, but you stole it.
How can I steal what I don't know about?
I know. You didn't know. It's fair. That's fair. To be fair, you didn't know. But the other one was that the average temperature for the first week of the Olympics was 20 degrees higher in Sochi and in the mountains than it was here in central PA, and we had 20 inches more snow than they had there.
Yeah. Well, I think solving the snow issue for Olympics is easier to solve than obviously the, you know, certain attendance issues at the Jordan Center with the student body.
That's very true.
I mean, Saturday was a good turnout, but not a great turnout by the students in terms of turnout. It was a good, and the ones that were there were loud and jumping up and down and into it and the whole thing. I mean, so that part's great. So the enthusiasm certainly was there. But I think you have to put together a series of student incentive programs to get them to come out to basketball where you make it an in thing to do. Now, the Big Ten's aware of this in a lot of ways because there may be a little twist in the Big Ten schedule to start off next year because they know that everybody's students are off campus. So there might be a little twist as they start the Big Ten season next year. I know for the Big Ten Women's Tournament, in the Big Ten Women's Tournament this year is going to be everyone going in Indianapolis, but next year I believe the opening round's on home sites. Now, the men are not going to do that. They're going to take everybody and they're going to go to one spot. And for the men, I mean, it's a great thing to do, put all 14 in one spot, because they're going to make money off of it. I mean, the Big Ten tournament makes money. Big Ten tournament's televised by CBS in the semifinals and finals. So, I mean, you get money from that. I mean, you hate talking about the money part, but I know Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to be on our show later in the week, and I know you can't stand that guest.
That's not true. You make it sound like I don't like the guy, that I dislike him. It has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it has everything to do with the fact that it takes away your romanticized feeling of what sports happen to be.
That is correct. That it does.
Okay? And that's why you love the Olympics from afar, because it's a la-di-da thing. That's why Roger and I are determined to somehow get you to Rio so you'll come out with a sense of realism about the thing in 2 years about what it's really like.
You think that's really going to change my opinion on it? You are mistaken, my friend.
I don't know. You know what? When you're... Okay, now think about where has this show been this year? In the last calendar year.
Oh, goodness. All across the country, at least.
We have taken the show to the NCAA tournament in Philadelphia, right?
That is correct.
We took the show to the U.S. Open at Marion. We took the show to the Pocono, what was then the 400, at the Pocono International Raceway.
Best day of the show, by the way. Just my opinion.
Okay. And also all the Big Ten venues and Super Bowl Media Day. Show's taking you everywhere. That's just in the last calendar 12 months.
And we've been to Sochi twice via phone.
Well, yeah, by phone, but I'm talking about physically taking the show.
Oh, you mean physically taking the show. Okay.
Physically taking the show, okay, someplace on location. We've gone to all those places. I've already talked with the USGA about Oakmont in 2016. All right? I mean, but I'm talking about when I mean going to Oakmont, I mean going for all three practice round days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I mean, we've already talked to the USGA about that. I'm awfully confident and cocky about the show lasting that long, but but at the same time, but we've talked about that because we have the ability to do stuff like that. And when you're there, right, the nuts and bolts of being inside or whatever are a little bit different than the outside. How about that? I mean, you were at Pocono. It's a little, you know, everybody treats you well and the whole thing, but it's still different being inside, isn't it?
What, being inside? Yeah, it wasn't as much fun being inside a broadcast booth as to do the show with interviews outside while I'm watching the cars go around.
Exactly.
But I still got a chance to walk around before the show and after the show, and see guys in the garage and talk to guys in the garage and things like that that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do.
We feel sending you to Rio will probably cure most of this.
You think?
Yes.
I don't know. All I know is I'm not going to sleep a whole lot if I end up getting the opportunity to go to Rio, because I'm going to hit every venue possible in however long I'm lucky enough to be there. Hopefully 2 weeks, but we'll see. You want me to go 3 weeks, but the Olympics only go two. That's the only problem.
We were shooting for 2 months. All right. It's just us. It's just different being there as opposed to the romantic side. But Tony Knopp's going to be on the show later in the week. Okay. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. Tomorrow, Chris Branch from the Wilmington News Journal will be with us from Clearwater to talk about the Phillies. He's going to join us at 4:05 tomorrow. And of course, we've already had on Aaron Hamlin from Sochi today, bronze medalist in the luge, and Dave Paulson, Bucknell's basketball coach. So we've tried to take you around as much as we can to get as many guests as possible, and Chris Branch is going to join us tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, is going to be on Wednesday. We're going to talk about the Pirate view of losing A.J. Burnett. And now he's a 20-game winner for the Phillies. Get back to a point. A couple bad officiating calls. First of all, the best performance of the weekend, I think for any athlete I saw, probably was Doug McDermott yesterday of Creighton. 13-17 shooting, 39 points against Villanova. McDermott's the real deal. You know he's a walk-on, right?
I thought you were talking to our listener. No, I did not know he was a walk-on either.
Yeah, there was a player that came back for a sixth year. He was one of their starters. Actually, he was out for 4 to 6 weeks with a dislocated, with a knee injury. But McDermott, in order to open up room for this guy, became a walk-on. Now, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but his dad's the coach, so they get an employee discount and so forth, correct?
I would think so, yes.
Except you have to know the NCAA rules to understand that that is impossible. The McDermott family is paying nearly $40,000 for him to go to school this year. Reason being is that under NCAA rules, you must be an employee of said school for at least 5 years to then qualify for, on an NCAA level, the discounts that an employee would get at said school. Greg McDermott's been the head coach now in his fourth season at Creighton. The McDermotts don't qualify. There's all sorts of rules like that, which is crazy and insane, and we'll talk about it a different time. But he has had a spectacular season. And remember, this is the Creighton team that walked into the lodge and hit 10 three-pointers on their right away and rang up 30 points right out of the gate. And McDermott had a big game then. So now this is the return game where you figure Villanova would play a lot better because they'd be ready for them. And even though it was on the road, and they didn't. Creighton just flat out beat them, and McDermott was 13-17 shooting and had 39 points. Plus, he rebounds, he passes, he does everything. Best team performance was the upset by Nebraska in their win at Michigan State. Teron Pettaway, Texas Tech transfer, Walter Pitchford, Florida transfer, at 23-18 respectively. They combined for 41 of the 59 points that Nebraska had in the game. Nebraska is now 53 in the RPI. They're now 6-6 in the Big Ten. Penn State is at Nebraska Thursday night at 7. Tim Miles does a great job of getting the message out there about his program, and that's what Patrick Chambers has been doing with his program, and James Franklin's brilliant about that with his program, getting out front with messages to fans about what they have. There were two terrible calls over the weekend by officials. Duke and Maryland, the last regular season Duke-Maryland game, at least as members of the ACC, because I'm sure there'll be an ACC challenge where the two of them are matched up at some point just to do it. But the possession arrow was never flipped in the second half. Duke started the half with the ball. At a key moment late in the game with Maryland and Duke, you know, separated by a possession, Maryland got a tie-up. They gave the ball to Duke. That's because the scoring table, the bench, and the officials all fouled up as to where the possession arrow should be. The bench didn't really think too much about it because this half started. But the scoring table never flipped over the arrow. And the officials weren't aware of it. It's a pretty simple thing. All you have to do is to go back to the scoring book to find out who had the ball first to start the half. That's all you have to do. They didn't do it. Duke got the ball. It should have been Maryland ball. Doesn't mean Maryland would have won. Doesn't mean they would have scored, but they should have had the ball. The other one was the Arizona-Arizona State game, where Arizona State upset Arizona. And that one had a bizarre ending in the second overtime. Former Nittany Lion Jermaine Marshall had a huge game in that game. He started out great, then for a while didn't do a lot, and then exploded with a couple big three-pointers in the second overtime. Unfortunately, there was a huge missed call in the game after an incredibly stupid play by Arizona State. Okay? Here's the stupid play. T.J. McConnell, the former Duquesne guard, is now the point guard for Arizona. And he puts up a shot down one, trying to give Arizona the lead. The shot is blocked, and on the block shot, Jai Carson grabs the ball with about 3 seconds to go. Now, at this point, what should Jai Carson do? Okay? So many players are bad when it comes to time and score. They just don't know what the time and the score is. I am baffled watching the game today, and on the professional level, too. They don't get time, score, situation. This kid takes the ball. You know what he does? He runs down the court and slam dunks it.
You probably want to pull that out a little bit and take some time off the clock, maybe?
Take some time off? He didn't have to do anything. Just dribble the game out. There's 3 seconds left. The clock runs when you're dribbling. Guess what happens when you slam dunk it or hit any shot in the final minute? The clock stops. Well, guess what he does? He then celebrates and hangs on the rim. And I mean, I'm talking like does chin-ups on the rim. Guess what that is? That's a technical foul, and it should have been called. And Dave Pasch, by the way, brilliantly pointed that out on the broadcast. Now, the reason he's doing it is he thinks the game's over. The game's not over because you made a stupid play. When is it a stupid play when you score? When you needed to hold the ball, because he's about 25 feet ahead of the pack. So he's not even in close to getting anybody that's going to get to him in 3 seconds and foul him. It's just not going to happen. Right? I mean, Arizona's not even chasing him. All he has to do is dribble it out and end it. He makes a stupid play, and it was a stupid play by him. Jams it. There's 0.8 seconds to go. The Arizona State students stormed the floor. They thought the game was over. See, they did the right thing not calling a technical on that because they thought the game was over. But this kid's doing chin-ups on the rim. You can't hang on the rim. You can grab the rim and hang on it to protect yourself or to make your or to ease yourself back to the ground. That's fine, but that's not what he was doing. It should have been a technical foul. Now with point eight, Arizona actually got a shot off that was right on line from the wing that came up just short that would have sent it to a third overtime. But those are two huge officiating mistakes. Possession arrow is about as simple as it gets in basketball. Duke, Maryland, they blew it. Duke should not have had the extra possession. Hanging on the rim is also an obvious, it's right in front of you, the world can see it play, and they blew that as well. One thing the officials, part of their job is to be the ones with the most poise on the floor the entire time and to not get caught up. They expect players not to get caught up in it. Okay? The officials who are, by the way, being paid a lot of money plus per diem have to be the ones in charge emotionally the entire time. And in those two cases, they blew it. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, I go to Rio. There's an arrow.
If you go to Rio and we don't refer to you often enough during the course of those series of shows, don't be offended. It would just mean we're talking sports.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm in Rio and I'm at the Olympics. Doesn't really matter.
See, somebody was asking me about your passion for it. I said, well, he loves the pageantry and things like that. And they said, you don't like the Olympics? I said, no. I said, I love the Olympics because I love the competition of it. I like the competition. I said, Kevin's into the pageantry and the la-di-da and the streamers and the torch. And,
I'm into the everything. But it's no different than what we talked about the Super Bowl. I'm into the whole event, not just the sporting event. I'm into the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm consistent that way.
Yes, you are. I'm not really into tossing big beanbags into the clown's mouth.
What can I win?
The Carson, if I'm Herb Sendek, the head coach at Arizona State today, okay, we're going over the end of the game over and over and over again against Arizona because I want my players to know that there's a smarter way to close it out.
What not to when do. You,
all right. Now, I know that doesn't sound like fun the way I want to do it, but it's actually the way it wins the game. Our thanks to Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com for the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm Steve Jones. We'll talk Phillies baseball tomorrow.